Okay, let's get into this. I've been reading about this new robot mall in Beijing, and honestly, it sounds almost unreal, like a cinematic vision of tomorrow.
Yeah, it's pretty striking.
What makes it feel so much like the threshold of a new age? Is it really that different?
Well, I think it is. It's being called AI's Day Zero by some, and that's because it feels like the moment AI really steps out of the purely digital world and into our physical space.
Right into the real world.
Exactly. And that physical presence, that interaction, it's projected to kick off this huge new economic wave. We're talking potentially upwards of $20 trillion.
$20 trillion. How?
By automating physical tasks, creating new services we haven't even thought of yet, and just boosting productivity across the board, could really reshape industries.
Okay, so that's the big picture. For this deep dive, our mission is to really unpack what's going on here. We need to look at the sources, understand this shift, China's big role, how this mall actually works, and what it could mean for you, for all of us.
Yeah.
So paint a picture for us. You walk into this place, the robot mall in Beijing's Yuzhuang Robotics Industrial Park. What's it actually like?
It's definitely immersive. Imagine over 50 different robots, all under this very precise, most dramatic lighting. You've got humanoids greeting you.
Seriously.
Greeting you.
Yeah. And delivery bots humming around, cleaning robots showing off in little smart home mock-ups. It feels less like a shop and more like a luxury car dealership.
A car dealership, that's specific.
Well, you see people discussing features, payment plans, that kind of thing. It's very focused on the customer experience.
So why that vibe? What's the strategy behind making it feel like buying a high-end car?
Ah, that's deliberate.
Yeah.
They're using what they call the 4S model: sales, service, spare parts, and survey. It's not just about the initial purchase.
Yeah. It's a strategic push to tackle that classic problem in robotics, the last mile of adoption. You know, what happens after you buy it?
Right. Maintenance, repairs, feedback.
Exactly. So this place, it's huge, 4,000 square meters, over 100 robots from maybe 40 different brands. It puts everything under one roof: maintenance, diagnostics, parts, getting that user feedback. It's all about building trust and just easing people into it.
And the robots themselves are quite something, apparently. Robot chefs, dancing robot dogs. I even read there's a chess-playing robot and a lifelike Albert Einstein.
Yeah, the Einstein replica can apparently teach you physics. It's quite the range. And there's even a robot-themed restaurant right next door.
Which acts as a live demo, I guess.
Precisely. It's a clever way to normalize seeing robots, working alongside humans. It's entertainment, sure, but it's also about building that comfort level, that trust.
Okay, so building trust domestically. But this also plugs into a bigger picture, right? China's global strategy.
Absolutely. This isn't happening in a vacuum. China is making a very clear, very aggressive play in robotics and AI. We're talking over $20 billion in state subsidies just in the past year.
20 billion. Wow.
And there are plans for a massive $137 billion fund specifically for AI and robotics, this government-backed rapid deployment approach. Well, it gives them a definite edge.
An edge over, say, Western companies.
Yeah, Western firms often rely more heavily on venture capital, which, typically looks for faster returns. It makes those huge long-term investments in physical AI a bit harder.
Right. But it's not only China pushing into physical AI, is it? I mean, look at Amazon in the US.
True, very true. Amazon's scale is incredible. Over 1 million robots already. These dark factories operating with minimal human staff.
And they're testing bipedal robots like Digit for deliveries now, too.
Yeah.
So this shift is happening globally, just maybe differently.
Exactly. Different models, different paces. But the shift to physical AI is definitely a global reality that's already changing things. And another really interesting angle from China is how they're tackling access, the cost barrier.
How so?
Well, look at companies like Unitree, their R1 humanoid. You can get a base kit starting around $5,900. That's kind of unprecedented.
5,900 for a humanoid. That is a game changer.
Totally. It opens it up for universities, hobbyists, maybe even some early consumers who just couldn't afford it before. Even the more research-focused ones like UB Tech's Tiangong Walker are around $41,300, still expensive, but more accessible than previous generations.
And like the car industry analogy, the way you own or use them is changing too. It's not just buying one outright.
Right. You've got direct purchase. Sure, leasing is an option, but the really disruptive one seems to be robots as a service.
Robots as a service,
Yeah.
like software as a service, but with robots.
Pretty much. You pay for the service the robot provides, not the robot itself. Think of Dexai Robotics' Alfred Arm and Kitchen's clients pay per dish it makes. or Miso Robotics' Flippy 2 fry station.
Wow, Flippy. Yeah, I've seen that.
So Reyes turns this massive capital cost into a manageable operating expense. Suddenly, small cafes, independent restaurants, they might be able to afford automation. It unlocks a huge market.
Okay, but that immediately brings up the jobs question, displacement versus creation. Amazon CEO talks about needing fewer people for certain tasks, but also creating new skilled roles. Where does that balance seem to be heading?
That's the multi-trillion dollar question, isn't it? It's a huge debate. And alongside that, you still have significant technical hurdles. Bipedal robots, especially, still struggle with things like stability on uneven ground, energy efficiency.
Right. You hear about robots falling over sometimes, these total systems failures.
Exactly. They happen, though, less frequently as tech improves. But it highlights the challenge of moving from a controlled mall environment to the messy real world. And then there are the ethical aspects.
Like the uncanny valley. That weird feeling when something looks almost human.
Precisely. Public perception is crucial. That's why transparent design, showing the mechanics, can be important for acceptance.
Which brings us back to the robot mall. It feels like they're trying to tackle these issues head on, building trust through that direct interaction and transparency.
Yes, that seems to be a core part of the strategy.
So wrapping this up, It feels like this revelation is definitely moving out of the lab and onto the, well, showroom floor. But success isn't just about the coolest tech.
No, it's about the whole ecosystem. Sales, yes, but also service support, social integration, addressing the entire life cycle.
The complete package.
Exactly. And maybe the final thought for you, for everyone listening, is this. As physical AI becomes more accessible, maybe through places like this robot mall or models like Rezus, how fast will that normalization happen? Could it reshape our relationship with technology and society itself much faster than we currently think? Globally.